Once upon a time, in a world with faith and fairness, there was something hidden.
Down the boundary! He's gonna go! Bearcats lead!
Pitch on the way from Mikolajczyk.
Swing and a miss! Mikolajczyk gets the strikeout! And for the first time in school history, the Bearcats are going to the Super Regionals!
Get ready for a next level show.
Welcome everyone to another episode of Chasing the Cup. My name is Gabe Myers, and I'm here to guide you through another season of Bearcat Sports. On the show today, we will analyze the Bearcat track team, which is currently ranked 17th in the nation. The Bearcats have been led this season by senior sprinter Chris Jefferson, who will be on the show today to discuss anything and everything Bearcats track. After sitting down with Jefferson, Chasing the Cup will also preview the upcoming Bearcat baseball season with Houstonian Digital Editor-in-Chief Tyler Josephson. We will touch on our basketball teams as well. The men's team is on fire right now, winning 13 games in a row and starting 12-0 in conference play, the best start in school history. The women's squad is coming off a thrilling victory Wednesday night against Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and we'll take a deep look into that game as well. Softball season is underway, and the team just defeated Texas Southern in their home opener on Wednesday, and they have the Getterman Classic coming up this weekend. We have a great show in store for you guys today. I cannot wait to get started. We'll dive right in after a word from our local sponsor.
Fans, want to get into Bearcats athletic events for free? Become a Texas Farm Bureau member today. Texas Farm Bureau members get 2 free tickets to Bearcats athletic events when you show proof of membership at the ticket office. Texas Farm Bureau members receive many great offers and benefits throughout the Lone Star State. Visit texasfarmbureau.org/sports to learn more about how you can get free tickets just by becoming a Texas Farm Bureau member. Texas Farm Bureau, a proud partner of Sam Houston State Athletics.
The Bearcat track team is making headlines as one of the top teams in the nation. Earlier this week, the Bearcats checked in at number 17 in the national rankings. Senior sprinter Chris Jefferson has helped spur the Bearcats during this indoor season. Jefferson is not just leading this year's Bearcats, he's also setting school records. 2 weeks ago at the Texas Tech Open, Jefferson set Bearcat records in a 60-meter dash with a time of 6.65 seconds and a 200-meter dash running the race in 20.74 seconds. Now, Jefferson is looking to lead the Bearcats to a conference indoor championship later this month. Without further interruption, here is Chris Jefferson. Chris, thank you for coming on the show.
No problem. It's an honor to be here.
So, Chris, what led you to Sam Houston State?
My sister actually graduated here, I think in 2011, whatever. So, I visited here multiple times just with my sister, going to basketball games and stuff. And once I completed high school, it was a no-brainer. I was coming to Sam Houston.
So growing up, did you do any sports besides track?
It was straight football. Like, I didn't run track until maybe my junior year in high school. Like, it was just football, 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 everything.
What position did you play in football?
Safety, receiver, corner, anything fast.
What led you to have a passion for track?
Okay, so I just went out to practice one day. I was trying to get faster for football. And we did a time trial. I ran with some Jordans. I ran a 10-9 time trial. And the coach said, I'm running track no matter what. So I just started everything.
So was it that moment that really made you begin to take track seriously?
Yeah, my senior year, I put a lot of focus on track. I felt like that would get me a little further than football at the point in time.
So, Chris, how does it feel to now own 2 school records?
It felt good. I already had the records, but I really wanted to run a 6.6, and I finally did it. That was the best feeling ever. And the 200, it really felt like practice running with a teammate. We were just pushing each other, and it was a good race.
Is that teammate Jovan Martin?
Jovan Martin, yes.
I noticed you stole one of the records from him.
I had it first. He took it, and I had to get it back.
Is there a little friendly competition going on between the two of y'all?
Yeah, weekly we talk. We say, oh, who's going to win? Who's going to win? Who's going to break the record? So now we're talking about conference. Who's going to win conference? So, yeah.
So those are the indoor championships that you have coming up. What's the biggest difference in your mind between indoor and outdoor track?
For the 200 or for the 60, there's no 60 outdoors, it's 100. And 60 is not my best race. I'm a little little taller, so it's hard to like accelerate as fast. So the 100 is like where I really shine in. The 200 indoor is like two banks, so it's kind of hard to run. You lose your balance most often. And outdoor, just the curve and the straight is way easier.
So you said the 100 meter is your best race. What's your goal in that race this season?
I have to run 9.9. That's my goal. Like, I could run 10.01. I would not be happy. It have to be 9 seconds.
So I got to ask, does this friendly rivalry that you got with Jovan extend into the outdoor season as well?
Yeah, he ran a couple meets last year, and we ran two different points in times, but it was the same meet. And we were comparing times. We were saying, oh, if I was there, I would have won, or if you were there, I would have won. This is a competition.
So how do you balance the team dynamic of being, you know, on a Sam Houston track team with the fact that track is really an individual sport?
It's interesting because I know the better I do, the better the team is. So I can run, I get first place at a meet. That's cool. I got a medal. But that helps my team get points. It helps everybody else. It, like, boosts the morale and stuff. So doing individual thing, you shining in it, you would see someone else. Oh, he's shining. Let me step up too.
So, Chris, what was the adjustment like for you going from football, which is widely considered to be the ultimate team sport, to track, where you're just focused on running as fast as you can, really?
Yeah, my first 2 years was kind of rough. I didn't really understand track. I was still pretty new to it. It was just like my third year running. And it's going to get the hang of it. I was used to being around a lot of teammates, talking all the time. And I was new back then, so I didn't really know anybody. So I didn't really get that close bond like you get in football.
So when did things begin to click for you, since you just said it didn't immediately?
Indoor, my junior year, I really just I stepped up. I was like, I need to be more vocal, be more team oriented. And ever since then, my performance has skyrocketed.
So why do you think your performance has skyrocketed?
I guess I just believe in the coaches more, believe in my teammates more, and yeah.
So how have you handled being a leader this year?
It's okay, so I can have another runner. He's maybe not doing as well, but he sees me. So he would come to me for advice, and I'm willing to help anybody. Me helping that person is better me off too. It's also better them off.
So what kind of advice do you give to someone besides, just run faster?
Is it like people understand track is all about technique. So I'll notice, oh, you overstepped that time, or you're not extending that time. I'll dissect their race and just tell what they need to do. And they do the same to me.
Okay, so it's obvious you're big on technique. What in your technique have you seen the biggest improvement in?
My first 30, the first 30 meters of a race, at first it was just horrible. Now it's getting better, but it's not where I wanted to be, but it's a major difference.
What specifically has led to that improvement?
Just me and the coach going over film and looking at proper angles we need to be in, and just working hard every day.
Okay, so you mentioned angles, and I think that a lot of people don't realize just how much goes into preparation. Take us into what goes on in preparation for a race.
It's hard because you have 5-6 days to prepare for one race that's like 10 seconds. So we come in Monday, have a good mindset, focus on the technique. Tuesday is to be the hard day. You have to get up, lactic acid, you throw up maybe, get up again. And it's a lot no one sees, in the background, no one ever sees that. They just sees, the performance you do, all that.
So what kind of mental toll does it take on you when you're preparing for a race for 5-6 days that happens basically in the blink of an eye?
Yeah, at first, I used to get stressed out. I'm like, if I had a bad performance, I'm like, I did all that work for no reason. But it really, running bad is like a learning experience itself. So it taught me to calm my nerves, be focused. And at practice, do it so much, it becomes muscle memory. It'd be a second thought.
What's going through your mind as you're getting ready to take off from the blocks?
It really depends on a race. 60, I'm like, first 30, push, stand up and run. And at 200, I'd be all over the place. I can think about what's for dinner or the bus ride home. I like to have fun with the 200.
So is there a level of discomfort that you have running the 60 meter?
I'm not really a good 60 runner just because that first 30. But towards the end of my races in the 60, that's when I speed up and catch up and potentially beat everybody. But I just know I have to put more effort into the 60.
So do you have any goals in track post-college?
Yeah, that's the goal this year. I really want to make a world team this year. So that's the ultimate goal this year.
So, Chris, what's the one event in track that you're like, nope, I want no part of that, that you really just don't want to run?
I would never do 800 at all. 800? Never. That's death. Or 400 hurdles. I would never in my life do that, ever.
All right, Chris, one last question for you. I want you to finish this sentence for me. This season will be successful if?
If I stay healthy. My first couple of years, I just little things kept nagging, butting up. And it took some time for me to really just like stand back, realize why the problems were happening, why they were happening, and make changes. And ever since then, it's been good.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for coming on the show. Once again, thank you, Chris, for taking the time to come on the show. The track team will be in College Station for the Texas A&M Twilight on Saturday, which will be their final event before the Southland Indoor Championships on February 24th and 25th. Up next, we have a second sit-down with Houstonian Digital Editor-in-Chief Tyler Josephson. You might remember Tyler from October's Post Piney Woods episode. Today, Tyler will be on with me to talk some Bearcat baseball, and we will discuss some takeaways that we had following the team scrimmage on Tuesday. So, without further interruption, here is Tyler Josephson. All right, Tyler, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Any excuse to talk baseball, am I right? I did Chasing the Cup last semester. Really enjoyed being on here, and, you know, but honestly, any excuse to talk sports, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, well, let's dive right in. We were just at Sam Houston Baseball Tuesday. We were over at the scrimmage. How do you think they look going into the year?
Team looked good. Man, it really did. It's a young team, that's for sure. There's a lot of new faces, a couple transfers, a lot of freshmen, both on the mound and in the infield. There's a lot of veterans, too, though. You know, we talked with Coach Deggs after the game, and he made a comment about how guys are going to need to step up. I think the quote he said is guys are going to have the year that they're capable of having. And when he's talking about that, you know, Jordan Cannon, Hunter Hearn, Clayton Hart, Hayden Wesneski on the mound is going to be big for these young guys. One of those young guys being his younger brother. I'm sure we'll get to that later. But Jordan Cannon is a big one for me as far as the leadership of this team goes. He stepped up into a huge role behind the plate last year, filling the void that Robbie Rojas left. And now someone's going to need to do that on the left side of the infield because Andrew Freese is gone.
Yeah, I think what you said about the young guys needing to step up is huge, and that it is a lot of inexperience. But the pitching staff is this is a loaded pitching staff.
Pitching staff is scary. They are very good. You actually were the one that asked Coach Deggs, you know, do you think this is the deepest staff that you have? And I like the way he said it. Yes, you know, since he's been at Sam Houston, but it's big. You know, there's some power arms. Obviously, we're talking Hayden Wesneski right there. That's for sure. But there's some finesse guys, and there's a couple of young guys I'm excited to see as well. But Hayden Wesneski, Riley Gossett, Seth Ballew. Seth Ballew is one of the most consistent lefties in the Southland, without a doubt. Matt Dillard, the freshman, is going to be an interesting one on the mound. We didn't see him throw on Tuesday, but I'm sure he'll get time on the hill this weekend. But that's one of those players that Coach said would make an immediate impact, and I think we can see why.
Yeah, one thing we discussed while at the scrimmage was, you know, if we get into a situation, the Bearcats do, where they're in a regional setting or some kind of best of three type of situation, they don't have to put the same kind of arm out there two innings in a row. No. You know, they are twice through the lineup.
Absolutely not. And you have enough, you know, depth in that bullpen. You can play righty-lefty if you want to. You can look at averages. You can look at, you know, how does a guy hit off a fastball? How does he adjust to junk pitches? You know, you've got Kyle Bacchus. You have Steven Beard is a name to watch. Freshman lefty. We saw him throw three innings this weekend. I mean, that kid was filthy. Absolutely. One of the best changeups I've seen from a freshman in college in a while.
No, and Steven Beard, we watching him pitch, the first words out of my mouth were Riley Cooper.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely the new Coop on the block. But then you go to the guys, you have Nick Mikulajic, you can go to Miko. Landon Ostley looked really good last year as a right-hander, and he's going to get to develop even more. He's going to get time out of the bullpen, maybe a spot start here and there. But he's a big kid. He can throw hard, not as hard as Will Duncan. He's good, too. And we're this far in, we haven't even talked about Cole Wesneski yet. I mean, and he looked really good. And he's going to get to, you know, match those with his older brother this year.
It's funny because Cole is a very different pitcher than Hayden, you know, with those two being brothers. But Cole has a filthy curveball.
He really does. You know, Hayden last year sat 92, 93. If he's on for a couple innings, the guy can touch 95. He's got a big arm. Cole, a little bit more of a finesse pitcher, but he has a curveball that Yeah, I mean, that thing had about 6 inches of brake on it and about 6 different miles an hour. I mean, we saw some of them sitting around 70, some around 76. Same movement, though, and I mean, that's hard on right-handed hitters.
Yeah, I think the depth of this pitching staff, I think someone talked about it where this team will go as far as our pitching staff can take them. I kind of have the opposite opinion. I think our pitching staff is going to be really good regardless. There's just too many good arms for the staff not to be one of the best, if not the best staff in the Southland Conference. The one area of concern is run producing, because you have Hunter Hearn, you have Clayton Hart, and then there's really no other proven bats outside of that. Proven consistent bats. Like Jordan Cannon, you've mentioned him quite a bit in the opening. He was good in spots last year, and then he wasn't good in some spots. You know, those run producing is a bit of a concern for the Bearcats, in my opinion, coming into this season.
I agree with that. You know, it's never your goal to go into a season and think about, you know, maybe where are we a little bit weak or anything like that. And that's obviously not a mindset. That's just not how you play pack baseball, and the Cats do it so well. But if you are looking at that, I definitely agree. You know, top of the order, you have Darian Sims. He's a very versatile player, and when he gets on base, he's dangerous. But that win is always a little bit of a question mark. You know, Hunter Hearn, though, and Clayton Harp, undoubtedly, whatever that order is, will be your 3-4 hitters in the lineup. Jordan Cannon will probably round out just below them. But aside from that, yeah, maybe it's a lineup you can pitch around a little bit. And if you're a team in the Southland, like HBU has a good staff this year, Southeastern Louisiana. And if you're a team that goes in knowing that about the Bearcats, you're going to be cautious. And so the question becomes, you know, how many good pitches is Hunter Hearn going to see? And how many good pitches is Clayton Harp going to see? And I think as the season unfolds, who provides protection for the other one? Who needs it more? Clayton Harp being a lefty, you know, a little bit on his own, you know, he can cover the plate very well. Tall, lanky kid, long arms. But yeah, you start looking at freshmen, and someone's going to have to step up. You're going to have a lineup where your freshmen produce. And if you're a coach playing, you know, in this conference, you're well aware of that, especially with this non-conference schedule at the top of the season.
No, I think on that note, one freshman that could really make a big-time impact with his bat, and Dex talked about it after the scrimmage, was Colton Kalzer, who he's an outfielder naturally, but in a loaded outfield for the Bearcats this year, they've experimented with him at third base a little bit, and Dex said because he just has a special bat.
He really does, and the kid's very good. You know, we saw him at third base, obviously not a natural third baseman, but he's out of Cy Ranch High School, and I mean, the kid is very good as a freshman. You know, game did not seem too fast for him. He faced some of these really good pitchers we've been talking about. And he was on the infield with, you know, returning veterans, Chase Cryer, Riley McKnight, Jordan Cano is out there. You know, he'll be throwing to Hunter Hearn at some point this season. Colton Kalzer was very good. The other one is Diego Davila, and he's going to make an immediate impact. The freshman out of Klein Collins High School, he's going to make a big impact as well. And I think you'll see him, you know, split some time on that left side of the infield. And this is where it's nice to have a year left with guys like Chase Cryer and Hunter Hearn, because you're going to be able to give these freshmen some time, you know, start 2 out of 3 games for a weekend series and, you know, watch these other guys go out on Sunday and see how they take care of business, and especially at Don Sanders Stadium. You know, it's always been a big thing winning at home for the Bearcats, and these freshmen are going to have to learn how to do that.
Yeah, I think one of the freshmen we haven't touched on yet, but he was starting a shortstop in a scrimmage we went to, so I think we got to talk about this, Jackson Lofton, a freshman out of Klein Collins High School. You know, right now it looks like he's a starting shortstop. I tried to pry a little bit with some of the guys on the team. They said they don't really know who the starting shortstop is right now. But from what we can gather, that's what it looks like. So he's going to have a huge role to play as well, not just with the glove, but with the bat.
Yeah, I agree. You know, he looked good. He looked comfortable. He was very athletic. That's what stood out to me. He was making turns at second base that looked like he'd been, you know, playing with these guys for 2 years. And honestly, he's only been on the same field since the middle of last August. So I'm excited to see Jackson play. You know, how many innings he actually gets out there will be a question mark. I think his bat is the question, but his glove looked, I mean, college ready for sure.
Yeah, he's a very smooth athlete, just a very smooth overall player, which is what you want out of a shortstop. But again, the key thing, producing runs. Can you get it done with the bat? Now, I think you said a minute ago, pack baseball. This is why I think some people aren't as concerned about run producing the way I am, because Sam Houston is not a traditional baseball team. They don't go 3-4-5, you know, just big thumpers in the order. It's, no, we're going to lay some bunts down, we're moving runners over, we're stealing, we're, you know, just doing different things to get guys on base and then get them home.
Well, and I'm one of them. I'm not that concerned. I look at a very balanced lineup, and I look at what Matt Deggs did with that in 2017 and 2018, and I think it's a specialty of his and his coaching staff. Everyone 1-9 can lay down a bunt. I mean, you will see Hunter Hearn lay a bunt down. I mean, it's crazy to think about, but it will happen at some point during the season. And you know, I mean, the way that you keep a defense on your heels, you know, in a team that they're so selfless. They will take the extra base when they can. They will hold up when they need to. You know, a sack fly to a guy is the same as a two-run home run in a one-run game. And guys understand that with this team. And you also look at who you play outside of the Southland. But you go up against teams like UT was a very close game last season. Came down to the long ball, you know, and UT edged out Sam Houston. So you will see that from time to time. Kentucky at the College Classic was the same way. Mississippi State had some extra base hits late in the game. Sam will just chip away for nine innings. And that's something that I think makes it, you know, if you're one of those freshmen, too, that we're talking about in that lineup, you feel a little bit better. You can go out there and, you know, you can have an 0-for-2 night, but you can lay down that sack bunt that got a guy to third base in the two hole. You know, if you're Colton Cowser, if you're Jackson, you can lay that bunt down and you can let Hunter Hearn drive a guy in with a sack fly. You feel good about your night. You know, you were 0-for-2, but you got a guy to third base and you got him in. And that boosts confidence a little bit around the clubhouse.
All right. I think we touched on everything Bearcat baseball. Tyler, I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to the season. Maybe we can do this again once we're in the swing of things.
Hey, I'd love to do that.
All right, let's do it.
Thank you, Tyler, for your time. And you're more than welcome to come back onto the show anytime. Before we go any further, I want you guys to hear what Coach Matt Deggs has to say about his pitching staff going into the season.
Yeah, for sure. Here, it's a good staff. It's got a little bit of everything. There's some power arms. There's some guys that can just pitch, and there's some guys that can trick you too. And so, it's going to be up to us to establish those roles and identities, and put the guys in the right spots at the right times.
Once again, that was Sam Houston State coach Matt Deggs on his pitching staff going into the year, and you'll be able to catch the Bearcats in action for the first time this weekend when they open up their season in DeLand, Florida, as they play in the Ricast Classic. The Cats will open up on Friday against Manhattan University. On Saturday, the team will take on the host school, Stetson, and on Sunday, they will wrap things up against Virginia Tech. Let's move over to the basketball court now, where the men's team is still undefeated. That's right, still undefeated in Southland play. In the last week, the Bearcats have won two wild road contests. On Saturday, the Bearcats were in Abilene, where it took double overtime to finish off the Wildcats in a 90-85 win. Senior guard Marcus Harris stole the show as he won a perfect 9-for-9 from the field, including the go-ahead three-pointer with just 33 seconds left. On Wednesday, things did not get any easier for the Bearcats. The team traveled to Corpus Christi to take on the Islanders and very nearly had their winning streak ended. The Bearcats were down 10 with just 9:27 left in the game. From that point on, the Bearcats outscored the Islanders 23-12, and a free throw by Kai Mitchell with 4 seconds left gave the game to the Bearcats in a 70-69 victory to move to 12-0 in Southland play this season, the best start by any team in school history. The Bearcats will finish their 3-game road trip on Saturday when they take on the Lamar Cardinals in Beaumont. The Sam Houston State women's team is currently riding a 3-game winning streak after a thrilling 61-59 win over the Islanders Wednesday night in Huntsville. The Bearcats started out the game about as cold as could be, making just one of their first 17 shot attempts. After trailing by as many as 13 in the first half, the Bearcats were able to cut the deficit to 2 by halftime, trailing 29-27. The second half was tightly contested the whole way. The Islanders looked like they were about to wrap things up when they took a 55-48 lead with 4:46 left in the game. But back-to-back three-pointers by Dominique Maxwell and Jennifer Oramas brought the Bearcats within one. The game was tied at 58 with under a minute to go, and Lydia Baxter made a layup off the inbounds pass to put the Cats ahead 60-58. The teams exchanged free throws, and the Islanders had one last chance to win it, but couldn't get the shot off in time, and the Bearcats held on for the victory. Here's what head coach Raven Justice had to say after the game.
You know, I thought today that my team played hard. We were relentless when we could have quit. We got down 15 early on, but I'm truly proud of how we finished the game. I knew it would be a tough match, like I said in the conversation yesterday, but I'm truly proud of them for finishing the game.
Now let's take a look at the softball team, where the season is now underway. The Bearcats opened the season by going 1-3 in the Houston Invitational, losing to ranked foes Kentucky and Oklahoma State, and dropping the final game of the weekend to the host team, the Houston Cougars. The Cats did pick up a win over Illinois on Sunday, and they were able to bounce back from the weekend with a 7-2 victory over Texas Southern on Wednesday night in their home opener, powered by the pitching of Lindsey McLeod, who struck out 12 in just 4 2/3 innings. The bat of Brooke Malaya played a huge role as well. She had a 2-run homer in the first inning of the game. This weekend, the ladies will be traveling to Waco to play in the Getterman Classic, and the Bearcats will open up play on Friday at 10 a.m. when they take on UT Arlington. That pretty much wraps up this week's show. Be sure to head over to GoBearcats.com for updates on all 17 SHSU athletic programs. Also, tickets are cheaper if you buy them ahead of time on GoBearcats.com. So if you're planning to come out to one of the games, make sure to purchase your tickets on the website to save some money. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at BearcatVid, or follow my personal Twitter at G_Myers33, or do both. I want to wish everyone a great weekend, and I'm looking forward to seeing you back here next week on Chasing the Cup. Chasing the Cup is a presentation of Sam Houston State Athletics. This episode was hosted and produced by Gabe Myers. Jason Barfield is the executive producer. Special thanks to Chris Jefferson and Tyler Josephson. Music courtesy of the 126ers, Kaido, Justin Luce, Cloud Patterns, and Post Malone.